Hello, 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 and welcome back to yet another segment of On the Field, and I'm your host, Captain Quality, and you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu on this fine Wednesday evening. And a lot I'm going to talk about right now is, you know, we're catching up this week, you know, along pig poll updates as usual as we do every Wednesday. But for those of you who are just overall sports fans, I do have kind of a treat for you today on our segment. Due to the fact that today, Wednesday, April 13th, there are two major sporting events going down in history, historical events, one of them being Kobe Bryant's last game ever before his retirement after 20 years of playing basketball, and the other is I know this can be a local favorite, the other is the Warriors playing the Memphis Grizzlies on track to break the Chicago Bulls' 72-10 regular season record, and both of them are big deals. So today's show, I'm going to do a little bit of brief, you know, MCLA stuff for those of you fans and loyal listeners who do, you know, enjoy that quality, Captain Quality touch on MCLA lacrosse. But because today is such a special circumstance, I would like to talk a lot about, you know, these two big games that are being covered on ESPN and ESPN1. You know, currently live in the studio, we are streaming the Lakers-Jazz game as I speak. Big deal, big time. And even if you're not, you know, I personally am not a Lakers, nor am I a Warriors fan, just a big sports fan in general. I mean, my team's the Clippers, so I mean, I'd be the last person to be excited about either one of these two teams right now, but this is just stuff you don't want to miss. And I know this 8-9 time slot really isn't helping the case at all, but, you know, who's going to predict the future at all when, you know, Kobe Bryant's last game was going to be on a Wednesday, or that Warriors record-breaking game was going to be on this Wednesday? But, I mean, big deals nonetheless. I'll bring up some MCLA stuff. We're going to talk about it. But it's going to be a big basketball day, as, you know, we've got history in the making today, honestly. It can go one of two ways. You know, Kobe Bryant, regardless, you know, this is his last game. I mean, no playoffs this year for the Lakers. But it's a chance to, you know, pay tribute to, you know, one of the all-time greats in the NBA. As much as I don't like to say it, you know, being a Laker hater and all. But Kobe Bryant, I just watched it right now, finishes a crazy and-one layup, reverse layup, give the Lakers a 10-7 lead. It's just phenomenal to watch this man play. And I've been saying that for years, you know, usually watching him, you know, beat my Clippers, you know, score 30 points, just hit every shot he sees. But, you know, watching Kobe Bryant play since I've been watching basketball, I'd say 13 years of my life, it's a phenomenal thing to watch, and it's sad to see, you know, a great retire, but he's had a very long and very fulfilling career as a Laker and just as a star in the NBA. And he said, you know, I'm foregoing, you know, any Olympic games this season just because I want to finish off my last time playing pro basketball as a Laker. It's just great stuff to hear, and I mean, and we're going to continue on with the updates throughout the day and just mainly talking about them. We'll also be talking Grizzlies Warriors, as right now nationally that's the bigger deal, because, you know, locally here in California, and also me being from Los Angeles, I mean, I see a lot of, you know, online stuff about, you know, Kobe Bryant's last game. It's a bigger deal for me and, you know, locally, like friends back home and whatnot, because I mean, back home, it's all a lot of these guys did was just watch the Lakers, and most importantly, just watch Kobe. There's definitely more Kobe fans than there are Laker fans out there. That's definitely for sure. But back to the MCLA, and we'll catch back up on the Laker stuff in a bit. Big basketball stuff. I know it's what everyone's anxious for today. It's just, yeah, a tough day, big time for everyone. You know, that's what happens. You know, stuff like this happens, and I feel like, you know, it's better to, you know, I feel like a lot of my audience members will definitely want to, you know, hear my input on, you know, Warriors and definitely Kobe Bryant today. And I mean, yeah, so I mean, this is, you know, it's one of those things that happens, you know. MCLA, yeah, big deal, a lot of big stuff happening, but you know, today is history in the making, and I feel today's one of those exception days, you know, it just kind of happens. But anyway, let's get on with it. First I want to look at our polls and then check out on our two sleeper teams we looked at the beginning of the season, and right now there's only one sleeper team left, being that Boise State has dropped below the top 25 rankings, and they're still receiving points and votes. I mean, they're right up there, probably in the top 30 range, but, I mean, they don't get a ranking for that. So Boise State has dropped off after, you know, beginning of the year, they were on that really good win streak. They're killing it, you know, during the season. And quite honestly, I was a little worried, because, like, I saw a lot of film on Boise, and a buddy of mine, Harrison Ray, a fellow teammate also, you know, from Boise, saying, you know, I know their coach, I know their team, and right now they've got a very solid roster. They're looking to do big things. And, you know, I was just saying, wow, like, this is crazy that they actually are coming out here doing a lot of stuff. And the other team that we put as our sleeper team was Oregon, who you couldn't, for the longest time, I think it's still, I mean, every weekend, every single week, there was never not a time where the University of Oregon was not mentioned in some way, shape, or form positively amongst the MCLA teams. It was just, it never was. Every week I would come back and I'd say, hey, we're talking about Oregon again, you know, Oregon, big article on Oregon, you know, Oregon did this again. And right now, they're ninth in the nation. They started the season not ranked. They were among the teams, you know, receiving votes a little bit, not even quite a lot, but they were just amongst teams, you know, receiving votes, you know, not ranked yet. After week one, they squeaked their way into the top 25. I think they're at 24, 23 spot. And right now, here we're approaching towards the end. It's actually towards the end of the season, week nine. Some teams actually on the cusp of finishing off their seasons as playoffs do start soon. And Oregon is number nine in the country. Actually, a very big deal for them. Like, I mean, I'm anxious to see them in the national tournament this year. And playing against them and knowing that I've got teammates who have played against a lot of their players or played with some of their players. And I personally have played with and against, you know, players on Oregon that I've known from Southern California and club teams there. And I'm anxious to see how they turn out in the national tournament. I mean, I'll definitely, I can't say I'd be rooting for them, but I'll be keeping an eye on them for sure. And obviously the big name in, you know, MCLA Division One right now is Chapman University, because they've been, ever since week three, they've solidified and, you know, stuck with that number one ranking. And right now they're 15-0 with their final game against the University of California, Santa Barbara. And not taking anything away from, you know, Santa Barbara, because they're a very talented team, but I just think right now Chapman's got it. You know, they won their senior night against Loyola Marymount 20-1. You know, big, you know, surprise, surprise. But they're going to play at Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara's got some great players, but Chapman right now has just had some incredible games this year, and they're just this 15-0 record, looking to make it 16-0. I can't really see Santa Barbara pulling off the upset victory. And it stinks. You know, it's Santa Barbara's, looks like it's their senior night game. They're coming off a 19-0 victory over the Claremont Colleges. And then we've learned this season that Santa Barbara's not a team you can sleep on after they did beat University of Colorado 14-10. It was one of our upsets a few weeks back. So, I mean, that's actually a very big game, and almost some might even call it a trap game for Chapman University, you know. This undefeated season, this perfect season for them on the cusp, and it's not like they're losing to a bad team. Santa Barbara's a tough team. You know, a lot of these trap games, you know, it's like, oh, they're playing a team that's not that good and has nothing to lose. No, Santa Barbara is a very talented team, and they definitely want this win more than anything. And they've had some very significant wins this season. You know, Cal Berkeley, Dominican, Colorado, Sonoma State, which is a huge one. I mean, that one caught me by surprise personally. And they won, and they beat them 13-4. So there's just, I mean, there's a lot of things they can do this game right now. And this game will be Saturday, April 16th at 3 p.m. So those of you who like to follow along Santa Barbara and or Chapman Lacrosse, or just big MCLA lacrosse fans looking to keep an eye on a good game, that's the game to watch. Number one, Chapman against Santa Barbara. It's going to be a big one. Chapman's looking to, you know, close out their season 16-0. And Santa Barbara looking to hold off on their senior night and finish off with a 10-3 record. Almost, you know, trying to get their way into the playoff spot in the national tournament. And even if they beat Chapman, I mean, I can't see why they shouldn't deserve a spot in the tournament. They're ranked high enough. A Chapman victory would definitely boost them high in the rankings, as no one's beaten Chapman this year. And I wouldn't, if I'm Chapman, I don't sleep on Santa Barbara. I definitely don't think anyone expected Santa Barbara to be as good as they are this year, just due to the fact that last season they had such a rough season after, you know, being in the national tournament in 2014. Last season, you know, not doing as well as everyone had hoped, and not even coming close to making any sort of a playoff push. And right now, they've got a very outstanding record at 9-3. They're ranked, and they got a very talented roster. And it's just going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch. And I'm anxious to see how that game turns out, just because, you know, two good teams, number one seed, and it's just anything can happen, really. You know, I know a lot of coaches, a lot of players say, "Oh, you know, anything can happen. Any team can beat anyone," and that's not always the case. I mean, very sudden. I never thought that, you know, a lot of these teams, I never predicted, you know, oh, Claremont College is, you know, no offense to them, is going to beat Santa Barbara. I never saw that's not going to happen. You know, I never thought, you know, LMU was going to beat Santa Barbara. I never thought, you know, that University of Texas was going to beat Chapman. So that saying yes, it's true, yes and no. But Santa Barbara's not some sort of, you know, team that you can just say, oh, like Chapman, I can't imagine Chapman going into that game saying, oh, it's Santa Barbara, you know, we got this in the bag. I mean, yeah, they can go in confident for sure, but I feel like they shouldn't go into this game as if they're just going to walk all over Santa Barbara. Because, I mean, playing against Santa Barbara, they've got some top-notch defenders on their team and a very talented offensive unit. And I'm sure, I mean, obviously Chapman does too. That's why they're 15-0 in the season. But Southern California's had some very significant wins this year, beating Colorado by 4 goals, which Chapman was only able to beat Colorado by the 1 goal. So that just proves that, you know, Santa Barbara's, they can hang. They beat Colorado by more goals than Chapman did. And they're in that same realm of talent. And I don't want to say I'm calling an upset, because it's kind of hard to, you know, go against the 15-0 Chapman. but I wouldn't be super surprised. Let's put it this way. I wouldn't be super surprised if I saw an upset with Santa Barbara over Chapman. It wouldn't surprise me a ton. It'd be like a big deal because, oh, wow, that's not too bad for Chapman. You know, they didn't get the undefeated season, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it would be a, it wouldn't be like, oh, no way, like they lost to Santa Barbara. That's terrible. No, like, cause Santa Barbara's a good team. Like, yeah, you can't take it away from Santa Barbara. Like, that's just, they're a good team full of good players. Like, you can't take it away from them. Like, they deserve, they won. That'd be a huge big deal for them. They deserve that win. So doing a quick little NBA checkup right now, Lakers are currently up on Utah 19-17. And right now it's just a big, really good back and forth game. Utah, for those of you who do not know, have officially been eliminated from the playoffs after Houston beat Sacramento tonight. And it was a very easy win for Houston. Sacramento did rest what I think are the two best players, Rajon Rondo, DeMarcus Cousins. And, you know, I would have loved to have seen, I mean, I'm not a big Houston fan at all. I would have loved to have seen Houston lose that game and thus forcing Utah to play super hard against these Lakers and against Kobe's last game. Just to see, I want to see a big battle to the end in this Lakers Jazz finish of the 2015-2016 NBA season. And right now it's looking great. You know, Utah just took the lead right now, and it's just a fun game to watch. And those of you who aren't watching, I suggest watching it or tuning in. It's a big deal. Kobe Bryant's the last game, and he's definitely in control right now. They've got the 24 on one end of the court on. They got the 8 on the other side, you know, on the wood. It's really neat. Got it all decked out for Kobe. I mean, the Staples Center's packed right now, which is a big deal. Got 10 seconds left in the quarter. Kobe Bryant's got the ball. He dribbles in. Head dishes out. Looks like that's the Clarkson. My bad. Russell misses the three-pointer opportunity. Down the court, Jazz turns it over with no time left on the clock. The score is 21-19 with Utah leading going into the second quarter, into the first. Kobe Bryant with a nice, gnarly pass over there to Russell. Russell just unable to finish the three-pointer. You know, and that happens. But, you know, quarter break right now. I can go back, check on the Grizzlies-Warriors and see how that's going. And the Grizzlies-Warriors, also ended the first quarter for them. Warriors have a very demanding 14-point lead already. And I can't say I want to see a big fight out of Memphis, but just because their last matchup a few days ago, Memphis only lost by a point. They lost 99-100. And that's, I mean, it's a very depleted Memphis roster. Okay, right now they have a lot of injuries to say the least, and they put up a very strong fight against Golden State, against the Warriors, who are obviously the best team in the league right now, you know, record wise and just best team in the league right now. Got what most likely is going to be the MVP, so Stephen Curry on their roster, and they don't have a lot of their big namers, which is just, I mean, I find it, you know, I was happy for them to see that. I was like, wow, they really fought hard with Golden State. They don't have Conley. They don't have, I mean, Gasol right now. They've got a lot of guys out. Just out. They shut a lot of guys down earlier just due to injury. And star point guard Mike Conley Jr. and star center Marc Gasol were two of those players. It kind of stinks. Right now, you got Tony Allen, shooting guard, top defensive player. He hasn't played at all today. I don't expect him to play tonight at all. And right now, I mean, their starting lineup was, I mean, the Birdman, Zach Randolph, Matt Barnes, Jordan Farmar, former Laker, and Vince Carter. Definitely not the Memphis Grizzlies roster, you know, you're used to seeing at all. You know, if you follow basketball or follow the Grizzlies at all, you know, you're used to seeing that Tony Allen in there, Gasol, you know, Conley, and those are all guys, the top-notch players on their team that they don't have. And for the Warriors right now, Stephen Curry's got 20 points in the first quarter. He's leading the way right now, accumulating for over half his team's points. Draymond Green with 6, 5, and 4. That'd be 5 rebounds, 4 assists in the first quarter. Klay Thompson with just the 4 points, and Harrison Barnes has got a 3-pointer under his belt. And actually, I saw a funny article on Klay Thompson today, to say the least. So during an interview, Klay Thompson was asked, will the Warriors be popping that champagne bottle should they win that 73rd game and go, you know, 73-9 in the season and break the record, you know, all-time best record in the NBA? And it was funny to see, because I was, you know, in your head, you picture it. They go in there and they're like, oh, yeah, we won. Like, you know, it's a big deal. And it's like, and a reporter asked, you know, would you guys be popping the champagne bottle? And he said, absolutely not. He said, we're going to celebrate responsibly tonight should we win that 73rd game. I just thought that was funny because, I mean, it's funny because I'm reading it. I'm like, Clay, I mean, like, yeah, these guys, I mean, I understand the logic and the theory behind it. But I just feel like, realistically, I mean, maybe Clay, I mean, he said maybe we'll have a glass of wine, that's it, because we got to save the champagne bottle for June. But I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, you know what? I'd be surprised if a lot of these guys didn't have a rather large celebration tonight should they get the 73rd victory. And, well, I mean, they deserve, you know, why not? I mean, they worked hard. I mean, it's a big deal. They worked hard for themselves. They got the 73-9 record, 73 wins, 9 losses, and it's a big deal. I couldn't imagine them not celebrating this after this game tonight. You know, not that they don't have to go crazy, but I mean, yeah, responsibly always. But I mean, I can't imagine, a glass of wine, Klay Thompson. That's what he said. A glass of wine is all they're gonna do for celebration. That's just unrealistic, I think, especially with these pro athletes. But I'm getting some score. I'm getting some updates right now from a current teammate and fellow basketball expert, Jack Gross of Dominican Lacrosse. He says, Brett, Curry's got 6 threes in the first quarter and 20 points. I was unaware of the 6 threes, but I was aware of the 20 points. That's a big deal. Kobe's got 15 in the first, and I was actually calling this at practice, talking to a couple of my buddies that were Laker fans, just basketball fans. Talking to my buddy Alex Killian from Southern California. He said he's from SoCal, he's from Tustin, big Kobe Bryant, big Laker fan, you know, showed up to practice wearing his Kobe Bryant 24 jersey. You know, it's Mamba Day today. I was messing around with him, I'm like, hey Alex, you know, how much you want to bet Kobe Bryant, you know, breaks his 81-point record tonight as his final game? He starts cracking up, he said, that'd be nuts to see. I said, I'll probably just, you know, go for 17, just, you know, take a rest after the third quarter or something. I was joking around, of course, but I mean, right now, it's Kobe Bryant's, I know, why wouldn't he? He's giving it his all right now. He's got 15 in the first quarter. I would honestly, like, this is the only time you're going to hear me say it, I would love to see Kobe Bryant just erupt right now and just play like old Kobe. Play old school Kobe. I mean, old school Kobe just took over the game, and he, more often than not, would shoot himself back into the game and she'd just get on this streak where anything he looked at, he would hit. And, you know, more, you know, younger and more recent NBA fans, you know, they're going to compare that to, you know, a Stephen Curry type thing, and you can't compare a guy like Stephen Curry to a guy like Kobe Bryant. Stephen Curry, he's doing great things this season. Yeah, it's a big deal. You know, he's had a couple of really good seasons. You know, he's going to win back-to-back MVPs most likely. Even though I thought last year Westbrook should have definitely won that MVP. I mean, it was definitely a close call, but yeah, Curry, you know, it was a big deal because the Warriors had not been first place in the conference in like the longest of times, or won that, you know, division. The Pacific Division, so it was a big deal. I could see why, theoretically, Stephen Curry should have got it last year, but I mean, I think Westbrook was definitely more deserving. This season, I think Curry takes the cake completely. Like, this is just a Curry year. He's doing things, you know, people haven't seen, but, I mean, you look back at Kobe's career, and, I 10 times out of 10, do I pick Kobe in his prime over the way Curry's playing now? And if I were to, I mean, it's, again, this is coming from a non-Kobe fan. I've grown up, like, hating Kobe, but I was not hating, but not a fan of Kobe Bryant just because of what he would do to my Clippers or what he would do in just the West, and just not be. I'm just very anti-Laker, and I'm just, you know, that's me saying, I got Kobe over Stephen Curry, and a lot of these guys up here in Northern California, and I come up here, they're repping their Steph Curry stuff. They're saying, you know, greatest player of all time, blah blah blah. He's gonna go down as the greatest, and I'm like, you guys have been watching the Warriors the last 18 months probably. I'm assuming, you know, tops, if not like the last 8 months, and I mean, it's just funny to hear some of these people talk. I mean. Stephen Curry, I don't think, would hold a candle to Kobe Bryant in a one-on-one matchup. You know, you take Kobe Bryant circa, you know, let's say 08, with his MVP season. Let's say, yeah, Kobe Bryant's MVP season in 08. Even though they didn't win the championship in 08, they went there and lost to the Celtics' big three. I mean, it would have been tough for the Lakers to win that one. Celtics had such an amazing roster in 08. Ray Allen, Garnett, and Pierce were all in their prime, just doing great things in each of the individual teams. All coming together to join Paul Pierce and the Celtics. Rondo came out of his shell, second year in the league, and just became Rajon Rondo that year. And I take Kobe Bryant from that year. He did win the MVP that season. Toss him against Stephen Curry from either one of these two seasons, this season or last season, and I think Kobe Bryant has his way with him, hands down. And then I think it'd just be funny. It's a funny thing to see. And I why not? You know, again, not a Laker guy, but I just feel like these guys over here are all, a lot of these SoCal, these NorCal kids are too Steph Curry right now, and, you know, tuned into the game of basketball to realize how great of a player Kobe Bryant was. And actually, I just got a funny text message from a good friend, Ashley Parrott, and she's laughing at the fact, you know, he says, oh, your radio show started with Lax and now to the NBA. And it was just funny because, like, yeah, it's definitely a really diverse thing, but we're talking, you know, we're doing a little more sports talk stuff right now, and the only reason I am doing it today is just because, you know, it's a big deal today. Warriors are going to go for that 73rd win of the season and break the record, and Kobe Bryant's playing his last game. And I mean, those are two big things. And I think today's the exception. We can talk a little, you know, basketball and a little MCLA mix, you know, here and there. And I just, you know, why not? It's all in good fun. It's too big. It's a big deal today. All right, now Huertas has the ball for the Lakers, turns it over. Utah Jazz are pushing it down court. And it's a dead ball situation right now. Looks like there's a foul. The timeout on the court. And it's really fun to see. And Ashley right now, she's loving that shout out. She's freaking out about it. Ashley, I'm really glad you're listening on. You know, she's shooting me text messages. Love it, Ashley. Big fan. But yeah, I just had to give that little Lakers boost right there as they go to commercial break. And a little scoring update for the Warriors-Grizzlies game. We got Warriors with 44 points, Grizzlies with 29. And I was really hoping to see more of a fight out of Memphis. I mean, given the circumstances of their injuries, I didn't want the Warriors to just have this game given to them at all. And right now they've got a 15-point lead halfway, not even halfway through the second quarter yet. And I don't know, Memphis. I mean, Randolph's doing all he can. You know, he's got the 8 points. He's gotta be their best active player right now. And you know, I don't know. I mean, what can Memphis do? It's you know, the best team in the NBA. And I mean, I'm hoping to see Memphis come back. Just you know, just give Golden State a little scare, a little run for their money at least. You know, I'm assuming Golden State's gonna win this game. I mean, it's hard to bet against them. But I would love to see a big, you know, big Memphis Grizzlies just kind of go back into it and just you know, say, hey, like, we're not coming down without a fight, and you know, you got to earn that 73rd win. But, you know, crazier stuff's happened. I've seen some big leads go down and back and forth, so let's see what happens the rest of that game. And honestly, anything can happen. And now, I know I'm gonna step aside right now, but away from these two big games, and just kind of give a shout-out to my Clippers right now, who are, I mean, they're sitting most of their starters, if not all of them, with maintaining a one-point lead over the Phoenix Suns. Obviously, the Clippers and Suns not a headline game as everyone would like to see, but you know, I got to check in on them. No, they're my team, and you can't not check on your team at all. I mean, they're gonna be the fourth seed in the playoffs this year, and I think people are sleeping on them. They've got a very talented roster. Blake Griffin's back in the lineup, and he's gonna be doing Blake Griffin things, Blake Griffin stuff, and it's gonna be cool to see. I'm excited to see what happens. But yeah, anyway, you know. It's kind of just surreal to see, like, you know, this guy that you watched, and I'm going back to Kobe Bryant right now. And it just kind of hit me right now as I'm at a commercial break, you know, watching the game and talking. You know, it just kind of hit me right now. You know, I'll never watch an NBA game again without Kobe Bryant. And like, I'm sure people have been saying that all day to themselves. And I'm pretty busy all day with classes and practice and everything, you know, preparing for the show. And just, you know, I'm watching this game, and I'm just like, I've been watching Kobe Bryant play for years on end, you know, games after games after games. You know, if there wasn't a Clipper game on, I was watching the Lakers just to, you know, check up on, just to watch him. Or if there was both on the same time, you definitely know I was going back and forth between channels just because it's the Lakers. And, you know, keep your Clippers being my friends, the Lakers being my enemy, you know, keep your friends closer, but your enemies closer. And you know, I was always watching the Lakers game whenever a chance I got, despite them not being my team. But that's just me. So right now, 16-point lead for the Warriors against the Grizzlies. Lakers are getting back into it right now after the commercial break. But while that's going on, you know, they're getting back into it. They're interviewing, you know, Nicholson right now on the court side. I'm gonna take a quick you know, sidebar over to lacrosse, talk lacrosse right now, and more importantly, talk Dominican lacrosse for those of you listeners right now. And those of you who do not know, this past weekend, Dominican University's men's lacrosse team did travel up to Chico State to play Chico for the senior night game. And let me tell you about something about Chico State. Despite the fact that they were, I believe, 0-12 on the season when we came to play them, they were a very, you know, big scenario, big example of don't judge a team by its record. Because I've played a lot of sports in my life: football, basketball, baseball, lacrosse. You know, most recent, obviously, the one I stuck with. And I definitely played against a lot of teams. You know, you play in a league and it's like, oh yeah, this team hasn't won all season. We'll just we beat them, you know, 71-6. You know, football speaking at least. And this Chico State game, these guys, I don't know if because their senior night, you know, the last game, and like they had a lot of, they're three attackmen, and a lot of their starters were, in fact, seniors. And it was probably the hardest game I've faced against a team that hasn't won a game ever. Like, that was just, I mean, I've played against a lot of pretty terrible sports teams. And these guys, I'll take the blame for this. I came into this game thinking to myself, oh, it's Chico State. We're going to come in here to, you know, smack them around. And, you know, beat them on their senior night, just, you know, have our way with them, so to speak. And honestly, they put up a very strong fight. It was close throughout the whole. I mean, it was close the whole game. And you know, Dominican Lacrosse did end up, you know, ruining their senior night and winning 9-7. But that's definitely not the score I saw when I mean, I predicted when we traveled up to Chico. I definitely thought, you know, we'll probably beat these guys, you know, 16-5, you know, 13-5. You know, get a solid, good victory. And, like, Chico State put up a huge fight. And, you know, you got to give them that. You know, at least they didn't go down saying, hey, we haven't won all season. You know, let's just forget it. You know, it's not worth it to us. But, I mean, they went out there, played extremely hard. You know, I'll give it to Chico State. I mean, they played hard despite the fact. I mean, they did lose. But, I mean, I guess now looking back at it, I'm very glad that they did put up a fight. Because it just shows that despite their record, and they had a lot of tough games this season, to say the least, they had pride. They went out with pride. And, like, there's losing, there's winning, and there's playing with pride. And I believe that's a quote from fellow teammate Ted Min, so shout out to him. He says this to us, you know, if we have a tough loss. You know, there's losing, and there's winning, but then there's playing with pride, you know, whether you win or lose. And Chico State, despite a couple of, you know, slashes, illegal hits here and there, you know, penalties and whatnot, and that happened, that's the lacrosse, so that'll happen. I would give it to them, and I'll say that they played with pride. You know, they played, like, they gave it all on the field, and that's all you can ask from a team when you're playing against a team. Obviously, I'm glad Dominican got the victory, because we definitely needed that. And this weekend, you know, April 16th, Saturday, at Dominican University, for those of you who are local, the Penguins will be playing against Cal Berkeley in Dominican's senior night, and will also be return of ex-coach Ned Webster. For those of you who don't know, Ned Webster was Dominican's longtime coach who, after the 2014 season, left Dominican to coach Cal Berkeley and is now making his return to Dominican to play the Penguins on our senior night. It's a big deal, especially for our seniors who were coached by Ned Webster. It's the first time they're going to be in the same field together at the same time. And it's definitely a big – I think it's going to be our best game, the best game of the season. I know Cal is they're not an easy team. No, they're a very strong and very talented team, and you know they've proven it over the years, and that we know that you know they've had some big wins this year, and both of us need these wins to advance to the conference playoffs. You know, if we win and then we beat Santa Clara, we advance to the conference playoffs. We make it, but if we lose to Cal Berkeley, you know there goes West Coast Lacrosse conference run for us. So it's a big game for both teams as we're both fighting for that conference spot. Right now, you know, behind, I think we're right now fighting for that fourth spot in the conference playoffs. And I think, right, for those of you who come out, it's going to be a big game. So, yeah, come out, support your Penguins. Senior night, come out, support your seniors. It's going to be a big deal. And, you know, a big shout out to our seniors, you know, Evan Shimada, Brooks Gelstein, Ted Mins, Alex Killian, Jeff Salvatore, Cody Bernstein. And I'm hoping I got all of them. I'll check the roster to make sure, honestly. I'd be so upset if I missed one of them. And I'm pretty sure I did get all of them. But, yeah, I mean, it's a big deal for all of our seniors out there. I'm anxious to see how they do. And, I believe I did get all of our seniors this year, you know, to Brooks, Cody, Q, Jeffrey, Shimada, and Ted. And those are our guys. Those are our seniors this year, you know, some of our leaders. And, you know, they're going out this weekend, and they would love the support of the Dominican University campus and as well as the Dominican University community and San Rafael community to come out and support your Penguins this weekend as we take on Cal Berkeley. Now, I'm going to take a quick fiver right now, give you guys some time to catch up on the game and everything, because we got 5 minutes till halftime in the Lakers-Utah game, and even closer to that in the Grizzlies-Warriors game. So, take a quick fiver right now. We'll come back. We're going to talk a little bit about Dominican Lacrosse and then jump right back into Warriors-Grizzlies and Lakers-Jazz. So, stay tuned. You're listening to Penguin Radio, and you're on the field with Captain Quality at radio.dominican.edu.
I know you could have been a wonder, taking your circus to the sky. You couldn't take it on the tightrope. No, you had to take it on the side. You always like it undercover, ducked down between your dirty sheets. But no one's even listening to you.
Back on the field, and I'm your host, Captain Quality, and you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, and now we're popping back right now, Lakers, Jazz, almost at halftime. Kobe Bryant just had a nice little layup a second ago, pokes away the ball right now, and Lakers are down by 6 points to the Jazz with 4:04 left in the quarter for halftime. And, you know, on the cusp of that, you know, Utah just finished an and-one, so I'm going to hop off the NBA for a sec. Just lean over to Dominican men's lacrosse, as there has been some breaking news. According to Coach Samuel Vogel-Seidenberg, Dominican has just received another commit to our men's lacrosse program, a Garrett Tiergarten of Petaluma High School. So those of you who are local in Petaluma, not too far away, definitely Marin County-esque area, has just committed to Dominican University Class of 2020. So it says here, Dominican lacrosse program is very excited to announce Garrett Tiergarten, Petaluma High School, class of 2016 in California, has verbally committed to continue his education and play lacrosse for Dominican University. Garrett is very talented, smart, and a solid attacker who will bring a lot to the Penguins as we continue to build our talented 2020 class. Garrett is from Petaluma, California. Garrett is a star attackman at Petaluma High School and was named first team All-League during his junior year. For his senior season, Garrett is a captain and thus far has helped lead Petaluma to a 7-4 record. We are excited to have a very talented, hardworking, and high-scoring attackman in Garrett Tiergarten to join the Penguins for the 2016-2017 season, said coach Samuel Vogel-Seidenberg. Garrett will fill a key role for us as a lefty attackman. He is fast, strong, has a great IQ, and is a strong dodger from X, as well as a great finisher all over the field. We are very lucky to have him as a Penguin. We feel he'll fit right into our offensive systems and add to the new mentality of the team. Welcome to the Penguins, Garrett. Please stay tuned for Garrett on National Signing Day. So congrats to Garrett Tiergarten there. And I remember Garrett, his visit, he actually visited along with fellow commit Austin Sacker from Lincoln High School in Oregon. And I remember, and they did come in with another recruit. I'm hoping he does commit. But these two guys, you know, Austin Sacker and Garrett Tiergarten, they came out. They were our first grouped recruit kids. And we had a couple of single recruits come. But they were the first, you know, group of three that came. And Garrett and Austin were two of them. And they were just they're very talented players. And I remember talking to my buddies Harrison and Blaze, because I feel like we were kind of the big three for the recruiting class this year. And I was like, guys, these guys can play. Like, they're very talented players. And we just got one of these guys to come, it'd be a big deal. And right now we've got two of these big three recruits we got. And our last one on the list is Joey Piombo. Right now, if Joey, hopefully, you know, if you're listening on somehow, you know, Coach Sammy may have said, you know, tune into, you know, Captain Quality's lacrosse show. I don't know. But, your two buddies from your recruiting visit are committed. So, maybe step on that and, head your way, make your way over to Dominican, because we're definitely making something great right now. And we do have a very talented 2020 class. In the last two seasons, our recruiting classes have been rather small, you know, for whatever reasons. And right now, this recruiting class we have now will definitely, it's going to double at least the last two recruiting classes put together. So it's a very big deal for the Dominican University men's lacrosse team as we continue to move come along and, you know, rebuild our team, honestly, from just make us better in the future. You know, we've been playing well this year, definitely a different season this year, you know, a different team, you know, that these seniors are not used to playing with, you know, very different from the way they had it their sophomore, freshman, junior year. So we're looking to just, you know, next year there will be a new mentality to the team, and it's going to be fun to watch, you know, fun to play. So I'm going to bounce back over to the Lakers game, and right now it is a timeout, but Lakers are down by, they're down by only 11 points, you know, nothing too drastic at all. You got about 2:45 left in the half right now. And, I mean, I'd like to just see what happens, you know, following up, you know, right now. I mean, I want to see Kobe Bryant explode tonight. And again, this will probably one of the very few times where I want the Lakers to win. Just, you know, just kind of give Kobe's last hurrah. I was joking with my buddies earlier, like, in the Lakers fans, and I was like, oh my God, you guys, Kobe's last game is totally just going to, they're totally just going to blow it. He's just going to wish, he retired 2 years ago when they weren't so god awful. I was just messing around with some of these Lakers guys. They're like, oh, so that's not funny at all. Like, blah, blah, just like, blah. We're just messing around with each other. And, but, I mean, realistically, I mean, I feel bad that, like, he had to go through all that stuff this year with, you know, the whole D'Angelo Russell, Nick Young thing. You know, it's his hurrah season, and I think he had to deal with a lot. And right now, you know, and I think it's kind of neat, though. Like, you have to give the guy credit for staying with the Lakers through their best of times as well as their worst of times. And by worst of times, I definitely mean, you know, these last couple of seasons, especially this one. Because he didn't quit. You know, he could have said, oh, I'm done, you know, halfway through the season. You know, this is definitely not going to happen. You know, this team is not doing anything. You know, no offense to the Lakers, but I mean, it's kind of true. You guys, they're not doing too much. But he didn't. Honestly, he stuck with it. Because, you know, you got to give it to a guy like Kobe Bryant. If he's anything, he's dedicated. Because, I mean, he's one of those guys where you saw him, he would play through injuries that most players would definitely take a couple games, a couple nights off for. And that's one thing, you know, I've always given him kind of credit for, because in today's day and age, you know, the player, you know, cracks his pinky the wrong way and they're out for, you know, a week. And Kobe Bryant, I remember seeing that guy in finger splints with elbow pads, with just hurt bodies, stuff everywhere, knee braces, face masks. And the guy came to play for every game. He wanted to play basketball, and that's one thing you got to credit him for. As much as I just hated the stuff he used to do to my team, he would come out and play no matter what, you know, as much as he could, despite, you know, that Achilles injury. Obviously, you can't play during that Achilles injury. It's just impossible. But, I mean, the guy wanted to play basketball. The guy was here to play basketball. He was in this NBA for 20 seasons, and it's just a humongous deal. And it's you gotta get. I mean, you can't not just agree with the fact that he's had an outstanding career. And I mean, people, I feel like, yeah, with the whole LeBron James rising, I'm a big LeBron fan as well. But it kind of, with the fact that Kobe's retiring, just kind of all puts it all into perspective, and you realize, wow, Kobe Bryant, you know, he was a fantastic player. And yeah, I definitely, you know, I'm rooting, definitely, again, one of the very few times I'll ever root for this man, but I just want him to come out here and just, you know, put on a show for us and just bring back the old classic Kobe that comes out here, brings his Lakers back from a deficit, and hits the game-winning buzzer beater. I mean, that would just be that'd be those climatic, you know, way out ever. That's got to be up there. That would just be phenomenal. And that's what I'm hoping to see right now. I definitely feel like, you know, that's what everyone's kind of wanting to see. They want to see their old Kobe and just, you know, give him one last show for the fans, and for the, just not just Laker fans, but just NBA fans at all. Just a thing just for everyone to see. Just enjoy it, you know. And, I mean, again, he can't control all that. I mean, he can only control so much right now. He's definitely, I mean, he said it himself. He goes, my body's not what it used to be. That's the whole point of him retiring. And, you know, it's whatever, you know. I mean, the guy's given us 20 great years. You know, what more do you expect? The guy's got 5 rings, you know, 2 finals MVPs, a season MVP award, multiple All-Stars, multiple all-team defense. And he's done it all, you know. So you got to give the guy like that credit. It just kind of all puts that in perspective, especially me, who was definitely not a big Kobe. I never was a big Kobe fan. I mean, I definitely respected him as a player, because you can't not respect the guy as a player. He's too good not to. But again, just not the biggest fan of him, but a fan of what he does. I mean, he's one of the all-time greats. And I know people are already talking, you know, what's his ranking going to be? And I got a buddy back home, Bobby Alderman, and always said, you know, Kobe's third of all time behind Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain. And me and Bobby used to get in this argument all the time for hours on end about how Kobe Bryant was not going to be ranked that high. And he's like, no, man, Kobe's up there, top 3 all time. I think Kobe Bryant's definitely a top 6 all-time player. Which, again, people are going to be like, oh, how can you say that? It's Kobe Bryant. The 6th all-time player is a humongous deal. I mean, to say the least. I mean, being 6th all-time in a league full of phenomenal basketball players and just legends over the last 2 century. I mean, it's a humongous honor. And again, I don't make the rules. That's just my opinion. I mean, 6th all-time. I think that once LeBron is finished with his career, he definitely will. I think he'll be that. I mean, second. He'll be top 3 for sure. Not trying to say, I mean, I can't predict that he'll be better than Jordan. I think he's at one point definitely had the potential. And should he win a ring in Cleveland, he's just making himself one step closer to it. But if anyone's close to Jordan, I think it's LeBron. Then after that, I'm going to toss in a little Larry Bird, Magic Johnson action. And I would toss in, you know, Chamberlain, but Chamberlain was just so far ahead of his time. He was a man amongst boys when he played, and I know it's like, you know, it's not his fault for that, but he wasn't going to be averaging those numbers in today's game. I couldn't see it. He's not going to average 50 and 25 playing in the NBA right now. I'm sure he'd be a good center, but there's no way he's going to be doing what he did back then now in the NBA. So, I mean, Chamberlain's still top, I mean, he's got to be top 10, but I mean, yeah, I got Jordan. I got Bill Russell. I got, you know, Bill Russell. Same thing with Chamberlain, though. But I mean, Bill Russell just did so much more. And in no particular order, I got Jordan, Russell, LeBron, Magic, Bird, probably Kobe. Then after him, Shaq. So Shaq at 7. And right now, I think that's a fair way to put it. And I think, I mean, not taking nothing away from Kobe Bryant at all, but those are your players that, I mean, if they're just the legends. It's hard to beat legends, and all those players are gonna live on forever. Kobe Bryant will never go forgotten. He'll never be forgotten. That's one thing you have to remember. No one's going to ever forget the name Kobe Bryant and what he did for the NBA and the Los Angeles Lakers and just our country. You know, he was a multi-Olympic team player. You know, he was a leader on the, you know, Redeem team in 2008. You know, obviously his MVP season. You know, wearing that, repping that big number 10. You know, shout out to Jack Gross, you know, number 10 guy over there. And, yeah, I'm hoping, you know, he comes out and explodes right now. At halftime right now, Lakers are down by 15. They're down 57-42. And at halftime, the Warriors have done what I did not want them to do. And they have taken a 20-point lead over the Memphis Grizzlies. The score is 70-50. They have 70 first half points. That's crazy. I mean, Curry's got 25 points. He's 7 for 13 threes. Thompson's 4 for 7 threes. They're going to break history tonight. And it's definitely something I didn't want to see at all. I didn't want to see the Warriors come out, and I didn't want them to come close to the record. I didn't want them to get to 72. I wanted them, you know, they were doing so well in the season. I mean, they weren't not going to get to 69 because of how well they were doing, but I didn't want them to get to 70 at all. I really didn't. I'm not a Warriors guy. I think, you know, they had that great season last year, yes, but I'm just, it's not my team. I don't think they're going to win it all this year, and I definitely didn't expect them to come out and do what they did this season. But I think their biggest problem is that they treated every single game this season like it was Game 7 of the Finals. And I don't think they're going to go as far as everyone thinks they will in the playoffs. But sad to say, you know, that's just me talking, and you can't take anything away from them right now because they are about to make history and go 73-9. So, let's see what happens. But playoff time is a completely different story. And sorry, Warriors fans, that record is completely useless without the championship ring to back it up. And that's just, I think it's true. The Bulls did it, and if the Warriors get this record and don't win the championship, I could care less about that record, because it's just that. It's just a record. But like, you want that, and Draymond Green even said it himself. Again, not a big, huge Draymond fan. But he said that record's nothing without that championship to back it up. We want that. You know, we want to go out there in June. They want to be there in June just to prove that they stand behind that record. And just the fact that, I mean, they have to prove it. And if they, and I was talking to my buddy Blaze about this, I said, if the Warriors come down, they get this record, and they win the championship, I said, I'll publicly take back everything I ever said about the Golden State Warriors this season. I said, I will, because they'll prove it. Just, if they were to win this championship, they'd be proving me wrong in every way, shape, and form about how, you know, they were good enough to get the record and the win. But it's sorry about that. I'm getting a funny text message from a good friend of mine, Ashley Parrott. She's giving me the not so good emoticon emojis about me talking about her Warriors, and sends me the blue and yellow heart and the 100 emoji. And yeah, that's pretty funny. Definitely a big Warriors fan. She's a local girl in Northern California. But that's just what happens. You know, you get some hate, you're gonna get some people disagree with you. But yeah, not trying to poo-poo any Warriors fans. I mean, come on, they're gonna break the record right now. And that's it's happening live. It's halftime. You know, Grizzlies down by 20. Warriors don't look like they're gonna fall back anytime soon. No. So you know, that's what's going on right now. It's halftime in Kobe's farewell game, and the Warriors are chasing history. So that's what's going on. Can't change it. And it looks like Utah Jazz is just trying to make Kobe's farewell a little less significant, you know, given the fact that, I mean, obviously Kobe Bryant wants to go out with a W. You know, who doesn't? Who doesn't want to go out and play their final game with a big W in the column? You know, Lakers obviously haven't won a lot of games this season. I believe they won 16, and they're definitely, so they've claimed that second to the last spot in the NBA, making themselves second highest to get that first overall pick in this year's NBA draft. Which is no doubt going to be LSU's power forward Ben Simmons, who some is saying is going to be just the next big player. And, you know, you hear that about a lot of players. Wiggins was one of them. They said next big thing, Wiggins. Wiggins hasn't been a bad player by any means necessary, but he just hasn't. I don't think he's been, like, the freak of nature everyone thought he was going to be when he got drafted. I mean, players that made a big difference when they got drafted, you look at guys like Kevin Durant, you know, Blake Griffin, Anthony Davis, you know, Derrick Rose, John Wall. Those are the guys who came out, you know, first overall picks, and just, I think, made an immediate impact to the league right off the bat. I mean, Davis being just his defensive style, just coming out, you know, showing the NBA, hey, I'm the first overall pick, and there's a reason for it. Griffin coming out, averaging 24 and 12 as a rookie. That's unheard of. You know, Kevin Durant just came out of Texas, just doing his thing, shooting lights out for the Seattle Supersonics before they became the Thunder. And there was John Wall coming out and just proving that he's one of the NBA's premier point guards out of Kentucky, first overall. You know, in 2010. And, you know, Kyrie Irving, you know, he was a good pick, you know, for Cleveland. I think it took him a little while to just kind of get into it. You know, people were big Kyrie Irving fans, and it was like, oh, yeah, that was Kyrie Irving. You know, Anthony Bennett, total surprise, the number one overall pick, you know, that season. You know, I believe that was back in 2013. I don't know if anyone else saw that one coming at all, but I definitely didn't. I knew that draft order that year was going to be a little crazy, but I definitely didn't see that turning out the Anthony Bennett route. But, hey, whatever. This season, I think it'd be Carl Anthony Towns, definitely the front runner for that Rookie of the Year. Great player. I think in the long run, I mean, definitely a center impacted draft this year, and I love it. I definitely think, you know, the Lakers should have gone with Jahlil Okafor, and I was scared they were. I was watching that draft with my best friend, a big Laker fan, and I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to get Jahlil Okafor, and they're just going to change the game. I was mad. I was terrified. And they drafted D'Angelo Russell. Not taking anything away from Russell, but Lakers were so hung up on Clarkson. They had Kobe. For some reason, they're big swaggy P fans. God knows why. And they drafted another guard. They drafted Russell. And I was like, you guys are preparing for... You got Clarkson in there. And you guys need a good big man. And they drafted Russell. It's not that he's a bad pick, but it caught me off guard just completely. I didn't see it coming. And, I mean, it was whatever. I mean, he's not a bad player, but definitely, like, looking at it now, Lakers fans are like, wow, Russell's over here, you know, creating beef with the team. And we could have gotten Jahlil Okafor, who was, you know, in Rookie of the Year talks, you know, definitely a dominating center for the Sixers. And right now, I mean, the Sixers got Twin Towers right now, and they are sitting pretty, looking into the future. I think they got to get one just veteran leader for that roster. And, again, I was surprised with the Michael Carter-Williams trade last season. I thought he was going to be the future of that team, the future point guard. But I don't know what Warriors are going after. They've got Nerlens Noel and Jahlil Okafor. I don't see Joel Embiid coming anytime soon. And I just thought there's no need for him. The guy's missed his first 2 years in the NBA due to, quote-unquote injury. But, I think Okafor and Noel are definitely the two big men, the two twin towers that are going to carry the Sixers, for years to come. And, I'm anxious to see how the Sixers do. And I've just got another scoring update from good source, Ashley Parrott. Another shout out there. I'm glad he's keeping up with the show. She just informed me that for you local NorCal fans of the Giants, they have just lost to the Rockies 6-10. And she says, in case you want to cover the MLB, not that I'm trying to cover the MLB at all, and I don't know a ton about the MLB. You know, back in my heyday, I probably knew a lot more back when I was a big baseball player. But again, I'm living in this area, Northern California. Giants are the talk of the town, and they've won three World Series in the last, five seasons. I'm not counting this season yet because, it hasn't finished yet, just started. And the funny thing about that is they've won all the even years, 2010, 2012, 2014, and now it's 2016. And so everyone's saying, are they going to win it again? They're going to win they're going to do it again and get all the even years, 10, 12, 14, 16, they get their fourth ring in six seasons, And I mean, again, not having a huge baseball background, I can't be the one to say, oh, it's going to happen this year, it's not going to happen, because I can name very few players in the MLB nowadays. I followed it back when there was, Jason Giambi for the Yankees and Gary Sheffield playing outfield and Randy Johnson was pitching for a team or something. I mean, that was my baseball knowledge, though. The players that were in backyard baseball, for those of you who played that, though, that was my baseball knowledge. Again, nothing against the sport at all. Just it's one of those things I just never kept up with too much, throughout, post middle school, pretty much. And that's why I don't do too much fantasy baseball, because I would definitely lose all my money. Again, thank you for the scoring update. Giants tough loss against the Rockies. Stuff happens. That's stuff that happens. And it's right now we're still looking at it's halftime for both Grizzlies and the Lakers. So I'm definitely going to turn our attention over to MCLA, as right now we're doing kind of a multi-sport thing going on here. And one of the main articles I saw this past week was California State University Irvine finished their season undefeated. And in the new poll update, they are still only the number 2 seed behind currently undefeated University of St. Thomas. And St. Thomas, they've got University of Minnesota Duluth and Minnesota State to end off their year. I think this weekend, either Friday and Saturday, and I'm guessing, should they win those two games, they will probably finish undefeated. But I think should they lose them, at least just one of them, I think should there be a pullout next week, or at least seeding for the national tournament, I can see Concordia University Irvine claiming that one spot as they finished 12-0 this season. And they just finished their last game against the University of California Irvine, beating them 23-6. So that was their last game of the year, a whopping victory. I mean, I'm looking at their schedule right now. Very few of these games were close. A lot of them were double-digit victories. I see a 9-point victory. I see a 14-goal victory, a 5-goal victory, 20-goal victory, 20-goal, 10-goal, 22-goal, 13-goal, 16-goal. A little closer now against Fullerton, a 4-goal victory, but then a 19-goal victory and a I think that's a 15-goal victory right there. I'm sorry. Forgive me, my math is a little off. 17-goal victory against California Irvine. So, again, Concordia University, not a lot of close wins. And, again, they've all been wins. They didn't suffer any losses. They went 12-0, and they pretty much, to say the least, dominated every team they played against. I can't imagine why they wouldn't get that number one seed going into the national tournament, but I think Concordia Irvine is the team to look at in the national tournament. And if I was a betting man, I'm definitely tossing my money on Concordia Irvine again. Not because I got to rip my SoCal teams at all, but I'm looking at the teams that they've beaten. Not bad teams. They didn't have super easy slate at all. And they got a couple of D1 victories. They beat UCLA and they beat LMU, both D1 teams. And they beat them easily, to say the least. So, Concordia Irvine, congrats to them. They're playing well this year. And right now, I'm just going to take a quick break. I see a team that they beat this year was Cal State Long Beach. I mean, they beat them 23-5. But on that roster is a former teammate of mine, both a club all-star and high school. And his name is Cameron Yurzik. He's a attackman for Cal State Long Beach. Give him a little shout-out. You know, he had a great freshman year this year. He played 9 games, had 24 goals and 13 assists his freshman year. Congrats to Cameron. It's fun to see him. I always used to call him my little protege in lacrosse. He almost came out here to Dominican last season, but wanted to pursue his pre-nursing major and be closer to home at California State University Long Beach. And, that's what have you, but, give him a little shout-out there. He had a great season, leading the way for Long Beach, and they're currently 7-3. Not a bad time at all. He's third on the team in goals per game. He's third in assists, and he's second in points, total points per game, behind a senior midfielder. And he's a freshman attackman. So that's just great to see. I'm gonna keep a little tab on him right now. Just make a little tab for Cameron Years, like big buddy of mine. And I think we're closing down the show right now. Yeah, we just got a few minutes left on air, and I'm glad I was able to talk a little bit about, this history in the making segment we had on today. I know it wasn't all lacrosse, and for you fans that were just, we're expecting an all lacrosse show, I apologize, but, tonight was a very big deal with the Warriors game and the Lakers game, not just the Lakers game, but Kobe's last, game in the NBA. And the fact that these two went on the same night is just ridiculous. And I felt rather than try to compete and talk all lacrosse with them, I just felt like it made a little more sense to toss them in there and talk about them, because that's what's going on right now. That's what's going on in the world right now in big sports. And I know a lot of my lacrosse fans are definitely not just lacrosse fans. They're definitely fans of sports. And these two events are two of the biggest things on right now. So, again, I'm glad for my listeners that are tuning in right now. They were able to tune in and just listen to me talk about, Warriors and Grizzlies and Lakers Jazz. And I'm hoping in the future, Captain Quality can do a little more multi-sport, primarily NBA-based sports stuff, obviously football not in season. But it's fun to talk about that. I've definitely been doing the whole MCLA thing all season. And now that playoffs are coming about, then the stuff's going to get way more exciting as, the national tournament seeds will come out soon, both Division I and Division II. See which teams made it, see which teams, didn't quite make it. And it's a big deal both ways, because as it is just like in, you're in, for instance, your March Madness basketball, there will be teams who are like, oh, how do we not get seeded? There's going to be some teams that you expect to get seeded and not get seeded, as well as teams that, get seeded and you're like, oh, what, that team got seeded in there? Like, that didn't make sense to me. Or they got seeded too high or too low. And there's a lot of excitement that goes into it, to say the least. But you've been listening to On the Field with your host, Captain Quality. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've only got a few more shows left. We've got a couple more shows left. But I'm glad to have my little listeners. And stay tuned. Keep up with these Grizzlies, with the Warriors and Lakers games, because it's history in the making. It's the one time you don't want to miss these games. So I've been Captain Quality. You've been listening to On the Field. Tune in to On the Field with Captain Quality every Wednesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Have a great night. You've been listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.